Khan Show with Anna DeFlantis on 720 WGN. Don't forget, tomorrow, as the Red Line rivalry pulls into Wrigley Field, we are going to be right down the block at John Barleycorn, 3524 Clark Street, tomorrow from 3 to 6:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a chance to win tickets to the Wintrust Crosstown Series on July 6th when it returns to guaranteed rate. Courtesy of Wintrust. That's why we call it the Wintrust Crosstown Series.
Ah, it's all working.
Giving away one pair an hour tomorrow, starting at 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 6 o'clock tomorrow. And visit WGN-TV photo booth is going to be there as well for a pregame photo. Details at WGNradio.com/events. All brought to us by Wintrust, presenting sponsor of the Wintrust Crosstown Classic Series. That classic series. I call it Crosstown Classic. I don't know. Cause
I
I'm from
too.
Here. That's what we did. So we did this. We used to call it when it
that's
didn't
not
count.
The official name.
Used to just be a game that they play in the middle of the summer as an exhibition game. And nobody fully understood exactly why they were doing that, except that there wasn't interleague play. And then after there was interleague play, look out! Look out! Look out, Jason Benetti! You know what I'm talking about. It got pretty crazy after they were started to play for real, didn't it?
It certainly did. I think the exhibition game was solely to get Michael Jordan in a White Sox uniform against the Cubs. that's my most stark memory of the exhibition version of this.
That's true. That's true. It was a way to bring him up and to just tell him, hey, listen, you're going to put more asses in the seats. That's what you're good at, Michael. Now we're going to do it in baseball. So
go rope a double down the line off of Dave Otto.
Wow.
Fun.
Wow. All right, let's talk about the importance of the series, especially for the White Sox right now, because the White Sox are coming off of, as of Friday night at 10 o'clock, I was absolutely convinced that the White Sox are going to the World Series.
Bro was asking me the dates of this year's World Series.
I know, we got the group text from you. I was like, whoa, wow.
I was like, they're 500, the first time they were 500 since they were 3-3. They've been in every game. They've crawled their way into every game. And I thought, my God, they're going to sweep the Yankees here. And it's going to be like that series that the Cubs had in 84 against the St. Louis Cardinals. And they had that one game, the breakout game of Ryan Sandberg. And Eloy Jimenez was having that kind of a breakout game. And I thought, this is going to be that kind of a moment. And this is the way history is going to be written. And then on Saturday and Sunday, not so good. But I still think that series, I think the American League turns and goes, wow, we got to look out for the White Sox.
I think what the American League is going to see in a couple years is that this team's going to be frequently winning series all the time. But for me, baseball is both fun and maddening because it invites you to get super excited and then challenges you to keep that excitement even when you think you shouldn't. Because nothing really is all that different than Friday night at 10 o'clock. It's two games out of 162.
Yeah, I know.
And you're watching it. No, I'm not lecturing. I'm saying I'm feeling the same thing today. I'm like, oh, man, you're so close and this and that. And then you have Despondia go out there, and he has a great first couple innings, then he gets pounded in the third. And you're like, oh, wither the Sox. What has happened? And then it's like, man, now you got another invitation to get back to 500 by taking two against the Cubs, but you play the Rangers and the Red Sox, and it's a horrible portion of the schedule, just so tough. But that's the fun of it for me. It's like you just never know. You think you know, and then they win the first two against the Yankees, and your whole mindset of, like, these next 15 days are going to be heinous. There were some fans thinking that at the beginning of that series with the Yankees, like, oh, 6-9, we take it. I've heard some people say that. And then they win the first two, and you're like, they're going to win all 15 of these, and it's just going to be like, oh, 5, and you're good. Every day, really rational, logical people think that the world has changed course.
Yes.
And it's great.
I think it does spark a little bit of more emotion as well, because it does appear that a lot of the pieces to this rebuild foundation are really playing well this year, Jason. The Giolitos, Eloy Jimenez is batting .346 over the last 7 games. That home run from last week still hasn't landed. The pieces that you really want to see growth in, it's happening right now.
It is. I mean, I was thinking about this earlier today. Like, how many people just say that they're going to do a New Year's resolution and then it goes away in 2 weeks? and you just have no shot at it. And for me, that's what's inspiring about this White Sox team is when he was healthy, Yoan Moncada was a totally different guy. Eloy Jimenez is still swinging his sliders, but not at the same clip as he was earlier in the year, even a month and a half, 2 months later. He's hitting balls 470 feet and charring baseballs at home now. And you've got Tim Anderson, who's growing into a bona fide superstar. And there's so much here. There's so much improvement from guys. And we all sit at home and we're like, oh, I'm definitely going to the gym on Mondays this year. And then the second Monday happens and you just don't go. Like, I think the dedication of this team to getting better, that says nothing about Giolito. I haven't even mentioned him. But he's completely transformed himself. That's something we all should be inspired by. All of us who want to get better on a daily basis and sometimes don't find the time in our day to do it, these Sox are doing it at a lot of positions.
That's fun.
Let's talk about team chemistry for a minute because I want to see what you're noticing, Jason. You know, when the Cubs in the run-up to their World Series, you saw this team loving hanging out with each other on and off the field. They looked like they were having fun on and off the field. They were loose. They were comfortable. They grew together. And it just seemed to obviously gel at the right moment. Are you seeing signs of that with the White Sox?
Absolutely. There is a lot of loose in that clubhouse. Eloy Jimenez twice in the last week has interviewed Chuck Garfine on our telecast. He's just taken the microphone and interviewed him. I mean, we see shots on the bench of like Yolmer Sanchez just bothering people and them having to get up and walk away from him. And the way that these Sox players are with each other so often, you would think that like, just being around one another, you get sick of being around one another over the course of 162 games, and the opposite has happened. Like, there is a lot of information sharing in the dugout. We see guys talking to each other over and over again in the clubhouse as well. I tend to feel like that there's a togetherness in this growth that usually means the rising tide lifts all boats sort of thing.
With a rebuild, Jason, there's always an obsession from the fan base over when certain prospects will be getting called up. And the rumor this week is catcher Zach Collins, who was their 2016 first-round pick, and then, of course, Dylan Cease, who was brought over in that trade, the Jose Quintana trade with the Cubs. Can we get a Jason Benetti official prediction on Dylan Cease getting called up? And what have you heard about Collins today?
A lot of reports of Zach Collins. I don't have anything official on him, but a lot of reports. And usually when all of those come out together, it rarely isn't true, but I've seen it before. Like, I was in the minor leagues and I had a guy, a pitcher, who was told he was going to get called up, and then the team decided on somebody else like an hour and a half later. So it was rough, and nobody should have to deal with that, but I've seen it before where things change. So, and literally, and it's not even me playing coy, until they walk into the clubhouse, things can change. All of the reports coming from so many different circles suggest that we're going to see Zach Collins sooner rather than later, like very soon. But I don't know officially. And then with Cease, I Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams and everybody with the Sox have been very dedicated to keep their own path unless somebody really forces their hand. And what Rick said at Sox Fest was, Dylan Cease is on the same trajectory as Kopech, and we saw Michael Kopech in August. Now, that could change, but I firmly believe we'll see Cease this year, but I don't know that it's necessarily going to have to be before August because that was the timeline originally put forth. But I sound like I'm being dismissive when I say this, but it is, for me, it's kind of like if they're in the clubhouse, we're going to see them, and until we do, I'm watching the minor league games. Like, I'll click on a Charlotte Knights game, certainly, but it's also I don't like Rick. Here's what I'll say. Here's what I'm trying to get at. Rick Hahn got a lot of flack in the offseason for saying Eloy Jimenez needed to work on his defense. And whether that flack was right because the Sox were trying to protect or weren't, whatever they were doing in terms of service time or whatever, he ended up actually being right. Even if people think it was pretextual, he was right. Eloy Jimenez ended up getting hurt defensively. So there is usually something to players being down in the minors for a reason, and it seems like for Dylan Cease, it's high pitch count through short innings.
Hawk Harrelson's been very vocal about his hatred of Wrigley Field. How do you feel about it? Do you look forward to this? And what's it like calling a game at Wrigley for you?
Wrigley Field is much more entertaining when the Sox win. I mean, that's... Look, but there's history there. I get the feeling when I walk into Fenway Park that I'm a part of history. And I get the feeling with any... Like, I've done games at the Barn in Minnesota for basketball, Breslin Center. Like, there's history in these buildings. And I think there's history at Wrigley Field. Some people think Wrigley Field should be history. But I think it's a fun place to see the Sox play. That's what I'll leave it at.
Oh boy, you're very diplomatic.
That's not what Hawk said.
May I just ask you a question?
I think Hawk may have said something about never wanting to go there ever again. Yeah.
Even if you gave him $5,000 or $10,000, he wouldn't want to step foot in that place because that place, quote, sucks, is what he said.
Well, the booth, Superman, Clark Kent wouldn't even change in the booth. Because there's not enough room.
Remember Ozzie Guillen when the first thing started, and he was talking about the rats that were the size of dogs and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now that's all changed. All right, I do have a question for you though. Is it possible Kevin, Lauren, and I have been going to a lot of Sox games, and they have won every time we've been there. We stopped by the booth to see you a couple of times, you know, when we were up there. And I just want you to make a mental note, Jason Benetti, that every time we have been in the booth with you, they have won the game. Now, Kevin and I were not there on Sunday. Lauren was there. Is Lauren responsible for the loss, Jason Benetti? I ask you now.
If I say that she is, I'm responsible for every no-hitter that gets broken up because I said no-hitter. And I refuse to take more of those bullets than I already take. No, she's not, but you get to choose. If you want her to be responsible, I'm not going to say no.
Oh, come on, Jason. I thought you had my back.
So here's the thing. Hi, Lauren.
Hey.
I'm not a big superstition guy.
Oh, come
I don't
on.
Think I can affect the game. I used to, like when I was rooting for teams, I'd have a corner that I stood in because I thought it helped. I now think I'm crazy. Like I think 14-year-old me was crazy.
Yeah.
But I also get why people do it. So I say to each his or her own. You have to choose. I don't like being the arbiter of superstition, though, because it's just not fair.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm just going to say that when the three of us attend the game, they win. And let's just, you know, we'll have to see. Now, that's been at the rate. I don't know what's going to happen at Wrigley, but we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see. All right. This is a very exciting time, though. That's all I want to say is that Friday night, I had that moment on Friday night where I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm telling everybody, all my my Cubs friends, everybody, I'm telling you, watch this team. This team is, you're watching an ascendancy. You're watching a Cinderella story of proportion here because of the, you know, these young kids that people have not heard of before. But when Eloy Jimenez hits two three-run home runs in a single game, and one of them still hasn't come down yet, 3 days later, you know that they're all of a sudden, as Lauren said last week, this is must-see TV, right? This is appointment television and appointment radio to this young team. It's really fun. And you guys, you and Stoney, are doing an excellent job. I want to thank you for that. And
thank you. And the one thing I'll say is, what I love about this team right now, the stars on this team are, you know, Moncada's hurt right now, but you've got a brash shortstop from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, who does so much in the community. You have the megawatt smile of a huge power hitter from a Latin American country, and you have, you know, kind of the nerd swagger of a reinvented pitcher from Santa Monica. I think that those three guys, Anderson, Jimenez, and Giolito, there are so many people in Chicago who can identify with at least one of them, if not all of them,
right. Mm-hmm.
And what they've been through. You have so many different types of people who are budding stars. And to me, there's something for everybody to love about the White Sox right now. That pumps me up because there are some communities who don't typically get touched by Major League Baseball. We saw it with Fernando Valenzuela with the Dodgers decades ago, how much the Mexican community, the Latino community in Los Angeles and beyond, sure, down to Mexico, embrace the Dodgers because of Fernando. The Sox have stars who resonate with so many different types of people. And if you want a team that in those stars looks like America in 2019, you got one.
Yeah, it is fun. And I don't mean to give Tim Anderson short shrift, because last year I was always talking about I was saying to Stoney, every time we talked to Stoney, I would say, what about Tim Anderson? And you know, Steve Stone, I don't know if you've noticed this, Jason, working with him now for a couple of years, he sometimes can be reticent. I think at times there are moments he can be a little bit like,
yeah.
Sometimes he'll give you the worst case scenario versus the best case scenario. And there, and you know, he was cold watering a little bit. And I'm like, this, because, you know, there was all this talk about whether or not, you know, we didn't know what the complexion of the team was going to be in terms of, you know, from the offseason. So there was that, I think, hesitance. But this was an amazing, this kid has really shown worth, and like you said, a member of the community, a guy who wants to come out and do, you know, embrace Chicago in a very, very special and unique way. There's not a lot of athletes who come to Chicago, not from here, who do that, and he has. So, you know, hats off to him and the rest of the team. It's just going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a ton of fun at Wrigley for the next 2 days.
Yes,
and
it will be.
We'll see you out there. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you all.
All right, there he goes, Jason Benetti, play-by-play guy for Sox Television. I think tomorrow there's going to be some the crosstowning at one of my favorite places in the history of Chicago,
John Barleycorn.
As I told you, I've been a lifelong participant in John Barleycorn, originally when they were on Lincoln Avenue, Lincoln and Orchard in Chicago. And I used to go there in all tweed in the middle of the summer and play darts and have a pint of something that I didn't understand what
it was. It was a preppy place, so you fit in quite well, I'd imagine. At least you thought you did.
Jaunty riding cap, and I even took on an Irish brogue.
Oh.
Yeah, because I think, you know, dark, you know, like Dylan Thomas, be like, I wanted to be like, you know, dark British Isle poets as I was sitting there with my pipe and my bad attitude.
It's going to be a good time.
It is going to be a good time. Always is. The energy is high, and it's just exciting to see this team. Like Jason was explaining, it's going to be a fun matchup.
3524 North Clark Street tomorrow. Starting at 3 o'clock, this show will be giving away a pair of tickets an hour to the upcoming Wintrust Crosstown Series on July 6th. Right? So that's 4th of July weekend. That's going to be the Saturday of 4th of July weekend. We got your tickets for that game if you come out to see us tomorrow. So how about that? It's pretty good. Right now, let's find out from Kim what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.